ask you a question, and maybe one that you've ever thought, and maybe one that you've never thought. Have you ever wondered why it is that you do what you do? Like, you know, like, why do I, especially in the context of, it seems like I always do the same thing over and over and over. I mean, maybe not every time, but let's take your morning routine, for example. Now, okay, maybe you've got an airplane you have to catch, and so it's a little bit different, or you have somewhere you have to be, and it's urgent, and so it's a little bit different. But maybe on the norm, on a regular, it's like every morning I just sleep in. I hit the snooze button. I hit the snooze button again. I hit the snooze button, and then I throw my phone out the door because I don't want my phone to keep going off. And then I lock my door because I don't want anyone to come in and wake me up, because that's just the way I am. That's just what I do. Or maybe you're the kind of person who's like, before my alarm even goes off, I'm up. People like you are, that's not even human. You're like, oh, I can't wait. It's such an exciting day. What? What did you drink before you went to bed? You're just full of energy. You're up before the alarm goes up. You hit the ground running a million miles an hour. I'm like 5 cups of espresso and maybe I can open my eyes. Why is it that we do the same thing over and over? You go out to eat and you're the person who just always is going to make the healthy choice. I would like the egg white omelet and no bacon. No bacon. That's too fatty. I would like grapefruit and then toast without butter. What's the point of that? Now, listen, I'm the kind of person, I go out to eat, and you know what? I get the steak every time. My wife's like, why do you even look at the menu? I want to see what kind of steak they have. Why get anything else? I'm not making a healthy choice. I'm making the tasty choice. Or maybe you don't care about health and you don't care about taste. You just go, what's the best value for my dollar? Like, what? Where could I get the most for the least? That you just do the same thing every time. Or maybe when it comes to finances, you're like, I save faithfully. I'm just always going to save. I save my first 75% because I want to retire one day. And I know people who have done that, and then they retire, and you know what you can't do? You can't spend what you saved because you're so locked into being a saver that you can't even enjoy all your savings. And so, but you just save all the time. Or maybe you're the kind of person who's like, I put God first in my finances. I always put God first. I give back to him 10% through the tithe, through the local church. I do that every time. Or maybe just every time a paycheck comes in, you spend it all. You're spending next week's paycheck before you even get it. But you just do the same thing over and over and over. Have you ever wondered, why do I do that? What is it in me that causes me to constantly, regularly, consistently seem to make the same choices? Well, there's a lot of reasons that that could be. One of it could be out of a sense of obligation. You just feel obligated. I need to be, I feel obligated to be a good wife, to be a good father, to put others before myself. I just feel this obligation. I feel this obligation even to obey God. It's obligatory in nature. For some of you, it may be that you really want to do those things. You really want to eat healthy. I want to eat cardboard because it's good for you. I don't understand that, but you know, some of you are like that and we pray for you. I just really want to. I really want to honor God with my finances. I really want to do those things and order my life that way. Sometimes it's because we want to be liked. Like, I don't really want to eat healthy. I really want to get, I'm out to eat with people, and I really want to get this, the fries with the melted cheese that's not even real cheese. I don't even know what kind of cheese it is, but I want that, and it's got the barbecue sauce and all this stuff on it, and it's so unhealthy, but that's what I really want to do, but I'm with this group of people, and they're all, like, ordering salad, and so I don't want to be considered a glutton and disgusting, and they're going to think bad about me, so I'll order the salad. And the whole time you're going, this is just the worst thing I've ever done. But I want to be liked, and so I want to fit in. I don't want to be rejected. And so we do things because of this sense of I want to be considered or looked at a certain way. There's a lot of reasons why we may do what we do, but the Bible teaches us that there is a reason beyond all those, a deeper reason that causes us to consistently make the same type of choices over and over again. And it's based on how we view ourselves. It's based on our sense of identity. And how you see you will determine what you do. What you do is based on how you see you. What do you think about yourself? How do you view yourself? So in this series called Press On, we're looking at how do we move forward in our faith. And last week, we started with the idea that we need to change based on spiritual truth, not on outward behavior. In other words, we're not aiming for behavior modification. We're aiming for character transformation. But for change to be transformational, as we talked about last week, it has to be spiritual. And so we talked about the fact that we need to identify our spiritual what, our spiritual why. Why am I changing? What is it that I want to change? Our spiritual how? What is the power that helps me to change? It's the Spirit of God. And so what we learned last week was this, that He is greater than me. He is greater than me. He is greater than me. God, I want to be different. This is what I want to change. This is why I want to change. But I can't change on my own. I can only change through your strength. Greater is He than me. God, help me to be different. Help me to change. As Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things I don't want to do is what I end up doing. And I'm all confused. And he is the only one who can help me to change. And so I hope you've begun to put that into your daily routine. God, you are greater than me. Help me to change. Help me to be different. Help me to be transformed. So this morning, what we want to talk about is not a spiritual why and not a spiritual how, but a spiritual who. Who does God say you are? Who is God shaping you to be? Because what you do is based on how you see you. So I want to look at a character from the Bible by the name of Gideon. And I want to read a lengthy passage about his life when we're first introduced to him. Because Gideon viewed himself a certain way. And he couldn't believe that God viewed him different. He couldn't grab hold of his spiritual who. So I'm going to ask if you'd stand in honoring God's word as I read this morning, Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. Now the people of Israel at this point are being oppressed by the Midianites, and this is what it says. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah, where Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? But now the Lord has abandoned us. The Lord said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in all of Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites. Gideon replied, if I found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that this is true, that it is really you talking to me, that I'm really going to be used like this, that I am really who you say that I am. So now please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. The angel of the Lord waited and then said to him when he came back with his offering, take the meat and the unleavened bread and place it there on this rock. And the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff. And fire flared from the rock, consuming the offering. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. And then Gideon exclaimed, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. That same night, the Lord said to him, go and tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole. Then build there an altar to the Lord. altar to the Lord. And the angel of the Lord touched them. We're all over. That's fine. Build an altar to the Lord using the wood of the Asherah pole. Offer a bull as a burnt offering. Gideon did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night. Now the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the other eastern people joined forces and came to battle against the Israelites. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and Gideon blew a trumpet, summoning the people of Israel to arms.
But Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you've promised, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's only dew on the fleece and the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And that is what happened. Then Gideon said, allow me one more test. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. And that night, God did so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and I ask that you would, in these next few moments, help us to receive the truth from your word. That we are not who we tell ourselves we are. We're not who our mother or our father or our friends or our teachers tell us who we are. And we're certainly not who the enemy of our souls, the devil, tells us that we are. We are who you say we are. And God, if we can grab a hold of that truth, it will change what we do. Because what we do is based on how we see ourselves. So God, help us to begin to see ourselves with your eyes. Change is God, and we'll be changed. In the wonderful name of Jesus, the strong Son of God, we pray. Amen. Somebody, if you love the Lord, say amen as you're sitting down. Amen. All right, some of you love the Lord. Some of you are like, it's too early in the morning to love the Lord. I love the Lord at night. Ask me at night. Remember that whole morning thing that you talked about, Pastor? That's me. I get it. I'm there with you. But amen anyway. I love the Lord. So what we see in this story of Gideon is that he processes his actions based on how he views himself. He's afraid. I mean, even the very beginning, what is he doing? He's threshing wheat in a wine press because he's afraid of the Midianites. It's nearly impossible to thresh wheat in a wine press because there's no wind. But he's trying to do that because he's afraid. He says, I'm weak. My clan is of no value. I have no standing. I have no influence. I can't be used. God, if you're really going to do this, you have to prove it to me. God says, I'm going to do it. He proves it to him. He says, oh, now I've seen the Lord. I know he's with me. And then he says, now go do this work. And he says, I'll do it at night because I'm afraid. And then he does this work. And then the battle comes. And it says the Spirit of God is upon Gideon. He's filled with the Spirit of God. He says, now let's go fight these people. As everyone comes to the battle, Gideon says, God, just I know what you promised, and I know you said you'd do this, but I need you to just help me one more time because I don't think I can do it. So he puts this fleece out, and it's miraculous. And he says, I'm still not, I'm not sold that you picked the right guy. I know who I am. I know how I see myself. I don't think I can do this. And God proves it to him again. And then he is used in a powerful way. But what we do, what you do, is based on how you see you. See, in every situation, in every circumstance, in every time of your life, when you are based, when you are faced with a decision that you have to make and how you're going to respond at a subconscious level, that you're not even aware of, but they've done studies that have proved this, that at a subconscious level, we almost instantaneously process through three questions that we ask ourselves and answer. And here they are. The first question is this. We ask, what kind of person am I? We're categorizing ourselves. We don't even consciously think this. I'm a believer, I'm a liar, I'm a cheater, I'm somebody who cuts corners. I'm someone who is just deceptive. I'm someone who's faithful. We categorize ourselves and we say, this is the kind of person I am. Gideon says, I'm weak. I know what kind of person I am. I'm a coward. Then almost immediately after that, we ask this question. What kind of situation is this? So now we are assessing what is happening around us. This is a situation that gives me an opportunity to be bold. This is a situation that causes me to feel anxious. This is a stressful situation. This is a situation that causes that's calling for an immediate response. This is a situation that has an opportunity to show grace. This is an opportunity to be generous. What type of situation is this? It's a situation that is going to call for me to do something. And so we begin to assess the situation. What kind of situation? This is scary. This is difficult. This is a situation that calls for
me to be kind and loving. And then the ultimate question that we process is this: what does someone like me do in a situation like this? Now we're determining a response. So first we kind of categorize ourselves, then we assess, and then we determine a response. And this happens instantaneously. We determine a response. In a situation like this, someone like me would fight. In a situation like this, someone like me would lie. In a situation like this, someone like me would be generous. In a situation like this, someone like me would run away. In a situation like this, someone like me would look at an opportunity to take advantage of the situation and to con somebody and to be untrue, to cut corners. In this situation, this is how someone like me would respond. When the alarm goes off, someone like me is going to push the snooze button. When the pastor says, say amen, someone like me is going to say, I'm not going to do it because I don't like to do what everybody else is doing. I know some of you are like, he's calling me out. Yeah, it's church. That's what I do. So whatever the situation is, in those moments, we instantly ask ourselves those three questions. What kind of person am I? What kind of situation is this? And what does someone like me, how I categorize myself, respond in a situation like this? And as a result, we do the same thing over and over and over again. What would someone like me do in a situation like this? When someone cuts me off on the highway, someone like me would speed up, get in front of them, and brake check them because they deserve it. They need to know that they're not a good driver. And nobody else is going to tell them. And the cops aren't here to give them a ticket, so I'll do it. Someone like me would say, you know what? No accident, no harm, no foul. I'm still going to get where I go. And if it takes me 30 seconds longer, it's not going to change anything. Someone like me would say, you know, I've cut off some people, and I didn't always mean to do it, and sometimes I'm not even paying attention while I drive, and so I can be gracious and forgiving. Someone like me is going to say, how dare they cut me off? Don't they know who I am? And I'm going to show them the love of God because he is number one. But we're not thinking about God and they're not number one. What are you going to do in that situation? So Gideon immediately says, I know what kind of person I am. I'm weak. I have no value. I have no influence. I have no standing. I have nothing. You call me a mighty warrior? I'm not a mighty warrior. He saw himself as weak. God says, you're a mighty warrior. You're a man of valor. I'm going to use you. Gideon says, I know what kind of person I am. And if I'm this kind of person and I'm in this kind of situation, how am I going to respond? I'm going to hide in a wine press and thresh wheat. I'm going to question God over and over and over again. Are you really picking the right person? I'm going to do what God says. We're going to do it at night because I'm afraid of what other people might think and what might happen. I'm the kind of person who says, I just don't know if I can handle this situation. So I am going to try and find a way out. So you find yourself and you're taking a test and you don't know the answer. What kind of person am I? I'm the kind of person to do anything to pass. And so if I can see the answer on somebody else's paper, I'll just take the answer. What kind of person are you? What kind of situation is this? And what does a person like you do in a situation like this? What kind of person? I know there's an opportunity here to give, to be generous, to give back to God. Every Sunday, the church says you can give your tithe, but what kind of person am I? Am I the person who gives and gives back to God and says, I see God as a source of all my blessings, and so I gladly give back to him 10%? Or am I the kind of person who says, you know, what I have is mine, and I'll decide how I give and what I give and how much I give and when I give, and so I'm going to have every reason why I don't have to do what the Bible teaches, and I'll make up all these excuses why the Bible doesn't even teach that, because it's easier, because I'm the kind of person who wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. What kind of person are you? I'm the kind of person who says when the opportunity arises to give forgiveness to someone, I'm going to give forgiveness. I'm going to offer, yes, you hurt me. Yes, you wounded me. But the kind of person I am who has been forgiven so much
And I've messed up so many times that when someone hurts me, wounds me in some way, I'm going to be quick and gracious and forgive. Are you the kind of person who says, you know what? They've done me dirty. They've done me wrong. And I'm going to hold a grudge because a person like me isn't going to get walked on. A person like me isn't going to get taken advantage of. They have no right to treat me like that. It's not about what they have the right to do. How do you view yourself? What kind of situation is it? And how does someone like you respond in those moments? That's what we ask ourselves. And it's instantaneous. So what happens is we get into these patterns of behaving and responding and acting the same way over and over and over. And because we are wired as human beings and we've been taught by our culture and we've read the self-help books, what we do is say, if I want to be different, I need to do different. And so we start to do things differently. We start to change our behavior. But as we talked about last week, if it's only behavior modification, it doesn't really change. And so we begin to change things. And we begin to do things different. And we say, I'm going to get up every morning and the alarm goes off and I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to get up at the certain time and I'm going to eat the right food and I'm going to put God first in my finances and I'm going to save and I'm going to pay off my debt and I'm going to be fully present and I'm going to be the kind of person that cares about others and I'm going to be gracious and I'm going to produce the fruit of the Spirit in my life because I know it's the fruit of the Spirit, which implies that it's the Spirit's job, but that really doesn't matter because I know the Spirit isn't going to do it. So I'm going to squeeze really hard and make the fruit of the Spirit come out in my life. And we try really hard. And it works for a day, and it works for a week, and it works for a month. But eventually, we mess up. And when we mess up, we begin to pile condemnation on ourselves. And what we do is we listen to the lies, and we believe the lies, and we're like Gideon. We believe that we're not of value and that we're weak and we live afraid because your whole life you've been lied to. My whole life I've been lied to. There is the voice of your spiritual enemy, the devil. And the Bible teaches us, Jesus says, he is a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. And he says, at one point, Jesus says, so when you hear me speak truth, you are just naturally inclined to believe the lie. It's hard for you to believe the truth because you've heard the lie for so long. And so what we need to do is stop listening to the lie. So the devil will lie to you. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're of no value. You're weak. You're afraid. And we hear it over and over and over and over. And he lies to us. And we hear it so much that at some point or another, he can stop speaking the lies. He says, I don't need to lie to you anymore. You know why? Because the lie goes from his voice to your ears. And now all of a sudden, the lie is simply in your head. So you don't have to hear his lies anymore. You begin to have this negative talk in your own mind. I am of no value. I am a failure. I am unlovable. I am a disappointment. And I will always be on the outside. Nobody will ever accept me. Nobody will ever believe in me. Nobody will ever see the good in me. And so all of a sudden, the devil's lies become our negative talk. And so when we attempt to change our behavior without changing how we see ourselves, eventually we'll fail. And when we fail, this is what happens. We don't say to ourselves, no, I'm a new creation in God. No, I am a new person. No, I am someone who has learned patience. I am someone who has learned to be long-suffering. I am someone who is walking in forgiveness. And yes, I messed up this time, but that's who I am. No, what we say is, yep, I'm a screw up, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm good for nothing, this is just who I am, I'm always going to be like this, this is just the way I am, I'm always going to be, and this is my lot in life. And we start the negative talk all over again. So what we need to do is realize this, before you change what you do, you need to change how you see you. Before you change what you do, you need to change how you see you. Don't start with the behavior. If you start with the behavior, it's only going to be temporary. It's not transformational because there's no spiritual component to it. So what you need to do is you need to start with how you see you. God, help me to see you, see me the way you see me. A mighty warrior, a man of valor, a woman of faith. that I will be this person who you can use. This is who you say that I am. And that's more true than the lies of the devil and the negative talk in my mind. But the reason that the enemy will lie and lie and lie, and the reason that that negative talk will persist, is because the devil knows that if he can help us to, or force us to, or get us to the place where we have the wrong view of ourselves, then we will not walk in God's plans and purposes for our lives. See, a distorted identity will derail your life. It will derail the plan and purpose that God has for your life. When you have a distorted identity, when you say, I have an addictive personality. So that's how I cope. I pop a pill. I take the drink. I look at porn. I overeat. That's just who I am. It will derail your life. You cannot walk in God's plans and purposes. It will damage your relationships. It will harm your ability to accomplish all God has for you and to do the things God wants you to do, because there are things he wants you to do. There's a way he wants you to live. But you can't do it if you view yourself like that. I am just a standoffish person. I don't trust people. I can't get close to people. I have to keep people at an arm's length. And if you have a distorted view of yourself, a distorted identity, it will derail your life. How are you going to have deep, meaningful, intimate relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with the Lord? If you think, I just have to be standoffish. I'm just someone who always messes up. I'm always going to mess up. It's just how I am. No matter how hard I try, I'll never do it right. So it's okay if I lie and cheat and steal and take advantage of, because that's just who I am. A distorted identity will derail your life. And so what we need to do is we need to get to the point where you and I, we begin to say, God, help me to view myself the way you view me. Because if I view myself the way the enemy tells me I am, the way the negative talk tells me that I am, the way the lies of other people tell me that I am, I will never be able to walk and accomplish and do the things you want me to do. But it has to start with the spiritual who. Who does God say you are? I love what it says in Romans. It says this: I have made you the father of many nations. So this is God speaking of Abraham. I have made you the father of many nations. Now, if you don't know the story, this guy's name was Abram. God changes his name from Abram to Abraham, the father of many nations. You know how many children he had at that point? One. And it wasn't the child, the promise. It was the child that he manufactured because he didn't want to wait on God. And so he's like, I've made you the father of many nations. And Abraham's thinking, I'm the father of no nations. But this is what it says about God. I am the one who makes the dead alive and who calls the things that are not as though they are. So there are times when you have to say, I know what the lie of the enemy says. I have to stop listening to that. And I know what the negative talk in my own head is. And I have to stop listening to that, because I'm not who they say I am. And I'm not who anyone says I am. I am who Jesus says that I am. And even if you're not there yet, you can be. You have to tell yourself, God calls those things that are not as though they are. Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. No, I'm yet. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're just not there yet, but you are. But I'm the weakest, and I have no significance, and I can't do anything. This is who you are. God calls those things that are not as if they are. So what you have to do is you have to get to the point where you say, God, who are you calling me to be? See, if last week we said, he is greater than me, he is greater than me, he is greater than me, then the next thing you need to add to your daily thoughts and prayer and into your spiritual life is this: who is he calling me to be? He is calling me to be. He is calling me to be. He is calling me to be. He is calling me to be what? He's calling me to be a mom who is fully present. He's calling me to be a father that will lay down his life for his family. He's calling me to be a person who orders their life around grace and forgiveness and compassion. He's calling me to be a person that puts God first in his finances. He's calling me to be a person who lives sober so that I can be a testimony to the transformational power of the living God. Who is he calling you to be? You have to answer that question. And when you don't know who it is, then you just say, God, who are you calling me to be? Who is it that you say that I am? And I need to rest in that. I need to stand on that. I can't listen to the lies any longer. I can't listen to the negative talk in my own head any longer. I have to believe that what you say of me is true. And even if it's not, even if it hasn't happened yet, even if you're saying, Abram, you're going to be the father of many nations, so I'm calling you Abraham, and you're going, but it's not happened yet, it doesn't matter. Who is he calling you to be? He is calling me to be. You're a mighty warrior. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Who is he calling you to be? A man of integrity. He's calling me to be a single person who lives a life of integrity and purity until I get married. And if I don't get married, then I will live a life of celibacy. He is calling me to be. Oh, I have to give in. I have natural urges. I just want. Who is he calling you to be? Not who you see yourself and not the lies that the enemy speaks about you. Who is he calling you to be? I know what they said about you when you were a child. I know what people said. I know what the teacher said. I know what the neighbor said. I know what that friend said. I know what your parents said. All those things that are just lodged in your heart and you can't seem to shake it. All those lies that the enemy spoke, and they just feel like they're arrows stuck inside of you. All those things that you believe about yourself. But at some point, you have to say, who is he calling me to be? And when you get a hold of that, it will change you. See, changing your behavior doesn't change your identity. But changing your identity over time will change your behavior. Because you will do what you do because of how you see you. And so you need to say, God, how do you see me? Who are you calling me to be? So, who are you? Who are you? What do you see yourself as? What is it that you struggle with? Why do you do the same thing over and over and over? I just want to be a people pleaser. I don't ever want to disappoint anybody. So I'll compromise, and I'll run myself ragged, and I'll spend myself in debt, and I'll let people take advantage of me because I can't tell them no. Why do you do the same thing over and over and over? Why do you find yourself giving into that temptation over and over and over? Who do you believe you are? What kind of situation is this? And how does someone like me respond in this situation? It starts with who you believe you are. So you need to say, God, who are you calling me to be? And maybe you don't even know what that means. So let me share. If you are in Christ, here are some of the things that the Bible says you are. You are chosen. You are forgiven. You are God's child. You are favored. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. You are blessed. You are forgiven. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You are first and not last. God has given you a plan and a purpose. You are favored. God says you are an ambassador of Christ. God says that you are someone that I want to use and I want to bless and I want to work through. You are somebody who is precious to me. You have a place with me. You will never be forsaken. You'll never be neglected. You'll never be left behind. God says that is who you are. You are chosen. You're set apart. You're victorious. You're an overcomer. What you need to do is stop listening to the lies. Stop hiding in the wine press. Stop being afraid. And you need to step in to the truth of who God says you are, who he is calling you to be. Because when you do that, then you can begin to start doing what he's created you to do. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would begin to move in our hearts and our lives this morning.
God, as we take these next few moments and prepare to come and receive communion, to come to the Lord's table, to receive the bread and the cup, help it to be a reminder to us of who you say we are. That before we receive the bread and drink the cup, we would examine our own lives. And where is it that we believe the lies? Where is it that we're allowing the negative talk in our own minds to just play on repeat and loop over and over and over? Where is it that we need to say, who are you calling me to be? God, when we get a hold of that, we can move forward in you. We can press on. And we can accomplish great things for you. Not by our own strength, but as we said last week, by your Spirit. Because you are greater than me. Help us to know who you are calling us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. In just a moment, we're going to sing a couple last songs and celebrate who God is and declare who we are in Christ. And this is what I'm going to invite you to do. As we sing these songs, you can come forward. We're going to have communion available, the bread and the cup. If you're a follower of Christ, this is open to you. But I'm going to be standing up here on one side over here. Pastor Andy's going to be standing over here on the other side. And before you receive communion, if you would say, I'd like you to just declare something over me about who I am. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're chosen. You're sanctified. You're favored. You're loved. You're important. That you need to hear something about who God says you are because you're struggling with the lies and the negative talk. Before you receive communion, just step off to the side. It's going to be a long, drawn-out thing. We just want to declare who God says you are over your life. And then you can step over, receive the bread, receive the cup, take them back to your seat, and then just as the songs are played, receive them on your own. We're not going to receive it all together at the same time. Just take the bread, take the cup, go back to your seat, and then at any point, go ahead and receive communion. So let's stand together now, and let's worship God.